Senator Dixon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bob Dixon, District 30, to present for your consideration Senate Bill 199, dealing with the use of deadly force. Senate Bill 199 repeals a portion of subsection 3 in Chapter 563.046 that allows a law enforcement officer to use deadly force when the officer reasonably believes that the person to be arrested has committed or attempted to commit a robbery. And this is directly related to the 1985 U.S. Supreme Court decision in Tennessee versus Garner, where the court held that a Tennessee statute was unconstitutional, quote, insofar as it authorized the use of deadly force against all fleeing felony suspects, where the officer has probable cause to believe that the suspect poses a threat or serious physical harm either to the officer or others. It is not constitutionally unreasonable to prevent escape by using deadly force. In its 1989 decision in Graham versus Connor, the court also stated that, quote, all claims that law enforcement officers have used excessive force, deadly or not, in the course of an arrest, investigatory or stop, or other seizure of a free citizen should be analyzed under the Fourth Amendment and its reasonableness standard. So the use of deadly force by law enforcement officers currently reads, when deadly force, a law enforcement officer is justified in using deadly force in effecting an arrest or in preventing an escape from custody only when deadly force is authorized under other sections of Chapter 563 or when he or she reasonably believes that either A, such use of deadly force is immediately necessary to effect an arrest, and B, that the person to be arrested either has committed or attempted to commit a felony, or is attempting to escape by use of a deadly weapon, or may otherwise endanger life or inflict serious physical injury unless arrested without delay. And it is that second or that this bill will delete, which is attempting to escape by use of a deadly weapon. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to turn the microphone over to my colleague, Senator Nasheed, to present her bill, and then we can open up testimony on both. Thank you.
Senator Nasheed, Senate Bill 42.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, I am Senator Jamila Nasheed, representing the 5th Senatorial District. Today, I present to you for your consideration and support Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 42 relating to deadly force. Mr. Chairman, make no mistake about it. This bill is not an attack on law enforcement. This bill would not prevent officers from using deadly force when necessary. This bill will bring Missouri in law in line with Tennessee versus Gardner Supreme Court decision. Section 3 describes the use of deadly force. It will change the existing standards for using deadly force. If you turn to Section 3, subsection 2, an officer may use deadly force if he or she reasonably believes that deadly force is immediately necessary to stop the suspect. And there is a probable cause, that is the new language, there is a probable cause to believe that the suspect has committed a felony involving the infliction of a serious bodily injury. And there is a probable cause to believe that the suspect poses a threat of serious physical injury unless arrested without delay. In this section, section three, subsection two, reasonable belief has been replaced with probable cause, which is the same standard, as you all well know, as the Fourth Amendment. Mr. Chairman, this replaces the line where you can just reasonably believe. I mean, that's way too broad. So that's why we're adding probable cause in. Attorney General recommended this language. So this is not fly in the sky type of language that we're looking to put inside this statute. And you also had the several states, including Tennessee, that actually imposes that particular language in their statute. Many of you may want to know why we have changed the reasonably belief to probable cause. The answer again is Tennessee versus Gardner case held that killing a suspect is the most intrusive form of seizure. Because it is so intrusive, the higher probable cause standard should be applied versus the reasonable belief. Another question may come up. The Supreme Court has considered this language in a civil case, but this is a criminal case. Why should the Supreme Court decision apply to this particular case, being that it's a criminal case? Regardless of whether it's a criminal case or a civil case, the Supreme Court's still call on to interpret the same Fourth Amendment right. So those are just some of the questions that you may have here. Another question, why do you have to escape by means of deadly force clause? Well, the answer to that, my language is broad. It's much broader. It focuses on whether the suspect is dangerous or not whether there is a weapon. So those are just some questions that you may have. And another question in closing is, why do we have it in two different sections? Well, we're going to have to make sure that it aligns with the criminal code, and when we pass it this session, it's different from when the criminal code takes effect. So that's why we have it in two different sections. Again, this is not an attack on law enforcement. This is basically trying to align our statute, which I believe is unconstitutional, align it with the Tennessee versus Gardner. And with that, I'll take any questions.
And just thank you, Senator. And just for clarification, your latest substitute, I believe, is in front of members.
Yes, it's in front of members. And I also have my chief counsel here with many of the, I think about 25. So if anyone in the back may want to see what we're doing differently, then just raise your hand and Blake will get it to you.
Thank you, Senator. And just for further clarification, you're not doing, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I understand that you're not doing away with a reasonable belief with the probable cause. You're adding it to, so it would be both standards, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for the Senator? Senator Emery.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator. I know this is a highly emotionally charged issue that has driven some of these concerns and that we're dealing with here. But I'm trying to envision the application of your language in the situation in Ferguson with Mr. Brown. How do you see this new language? How do you envision it would have changed that situation?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. All I'm trying to do right now is make sure that we're constitutional. Right now we're unconstitutional according to Tennessee versus Gardner. This language is, again, basically what put the state of Missouri in alignment with the Supreme Court ruling. That's what this is about.
Okay, and I am not looking at the substitute, but I don't think this section, I'm not sure if this section was addressed in the substitute. But on page 2 of the bill I'm looking at, let's see, line 23, where we're talking about when deadly force is used.
What line?
line 23, where it's when a suspect is attempting to escape. I was just handed a copy of the substitute. Let me see if I'm...
We're dealing with the substitute. We're not dealing with the original bill.
Okay.
The original bill, I truly believe, was a start, but it was way too controversial.
Okay, so that section
and
is changed
the,
in the substitute.
A lot of the opposition that I spoke with said that this is a non-starter, so I had to go back to the drawing board and begin to figure out what we can get done here.
Okay, yeah, that section has
something
been changed.
Something needs to be done.
Right, that section has been changed to the substitute.
Yes.
So that I withdraw that question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No problem. Senator, if I may, my understanding, the major impact that both of our bills will have is that the jury will have
a clear standard.
Well, they'll have more clear instructions so that there won't be the conflict between statute and case law. Is that
That's
your
correct.
Understanding?
That's correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other questions for the sponsor? Senator Onder?
To inquire.
Proceed.
This might be a question for both bill handlers, but I guess primarily you, Senator Nasheed. The one difference I see between your bill and Senator Dixon's is this kind of automatic suspension pending an investigation. If the suspect was unarmed and at a distance of 20 feet or greater. I'm sorry, I'm looking at that in the original bill. Is that in your substitute as well?
Or no, that's not.
Oh, okay, I apologize. Are there any other differences?
I would love for it to be in there,
yeah,
but
are there
it's
any
not.
Other differences you would care to point out between your bill and Senator Dixon's?
Well, Senator Dixon's, basically, his bill would do away with a felon, you know, where you can just shoot a felon.
Okay.
Simply because he's a felon, okay?
Right.
My bill deals with his still deals with reasonable belief, and mine's, it's a little bit different from his.
Is this probable cause?
It's probable cause.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you.
And again, probable cause is recommended. It was recommended by the, it was a report. I don't know, you probably should get this report here, but there, Lieutenant Governor issued a report on policing policies. And that was recommended by the Attorney General as well as the Tennessee versus Gardner. So,
thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Schmidt.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, and this may be a question for you or Senator Nasheed. So Senator Onder pointed out, I think there's two major differences between your bill and her bill, the first being reasonable belief versus probable cause, and then
and that would be in addition to in her substitute.
What's that?
I don't in my bill. I did not include the probable cause standard. It was just the
right.
The other, and I think in her substitute there's both.
So is there? Well, let's stay with that for a sec. Is there? Why did you choose reasonable belief versus probable cause?
Well, when I first drafted it, I went with what my understanding of the base issue was. It was the current standard, and as far as the probable cause standard, I believe in discussions with the Senator, we can go into this further. Sorry. I was explaining that I used the reasonable belief standard because it was the current standard in statute.
Sure.
And the sponsor that we're talking about, Senator Nasheed's substitute, she went with the probable cause. My understanding was because it was a federal standard
It's a Tennessee versus Gardner.
So I want to ask you about that. So I have not read that case as of yet.
Here we go.
The full case.
Oh,
you got
the full case.
The full case.
I have some portions of it. It deals with this probably.
Is your understanding that the probable cause standard is the basis of that opinion, or is it dicta? Is that the rule?
I'm not going to say it's the basis, but it clearly defines what right now reasonable belief is way too broad, and the probable cause really defines when you can actually use deadly force.
Okay. Well, I'll read the case. I'm sure we've got experts here, too, that'll testify. The other issue, I suppose, is the Senator Dixon brackets out the felony that the use of deadly force cannot be used just for the commission of a felony.
That's correct, and I actually misspoke.
Senator Nasheed's bill says you can if the offense is it's a felony that felony offense involving the infliction or threatened infliction of serious physical injury.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So those are the two differences between the bills. Is that fair?
I think that's a good description.
Well, I mean, you can be I think what we have in statute right now is yours is still in statute.
Yes.
Okay, and again, that language is way too broad. I mean, you can be a felon with a child support and have a felon, and you can actually use deadly force. It just says felon, okay? So my language basically clarifies it, if it's injected with bodily harm and things of that sort. So we're just trying to make the language clear. And make sure that it's well defined in my language.
You're essentially limiting the felonies to those involving the someone being injured.
Not just a person with not a felony.
And Senator Dixon is getting rid of the ability to use deadly force at all for felonies.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And I apologize. I misspoke in my presentation. It was that first one, which is, as you said, the felony, not the attempting to escape. Okay, let's open it up to witnesses. Those who would like to speak in favor of either bill, please come forward. Please be sure to fill out a witness form. We would ask that you limit your testimony to 3 minutes, not, of course, including questions. And I also want to thank Senator Chappelle Nadal for joining us as a I guess we could say an ad hoc committee member almost. Appreciate you being here. Dean, welcome.
Thank you, Senator. Good afternoon, Senators. My name is Dean Dankelson. I am the prosecuting attorney of Jasper County. I'm also the co-legislative chair of the Missouri Association of Prosecuting Attorneys. Here to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 199. I think you have all started to flesh out the issue, which is that the statute on the apprehension of a fleeing felon in the state of Missouri is unconstitutional and has been for quite some time. We had an incident in Jasper County a number of years ago involving an officer's use of deadly force, and the reporter covering the case asked me, he said, "Do you realize the statute's unconstitutional?" And at that point in time, because I fortunately had taught a class or two at our local university, had realized that our statute was unconstitutional and that Tennessee versus Garner was the controlling language. Senate Bill 199 does a very simple fix, and it eliminates the unconstitutional provision of our statute. It's important to note, as the discussion was going on here a minute ago, that there are a number of statutes that deal with the use of force in protection of persons or premises, and the use of deadly force, not just physical force, but deadly force, which are not in front of us today and are not included in your packet, which still apply, and there are limited instances in which somebody can use a deadly force to protect themselves or protect others. What this statute specifically deals with is the apprehension of a fleeing felon simply because they're a fleeing felon. And what Tennessee versus Garner said, I believe, is that using deadly force to apprehend a fleeing felon is constitutionally unreasonable. And I don't think there's anybody who could disagree with that. The fix offered by Senate Bill 199, I think, is a very simple fix, puts us in compliance with the United States Supreme Court, and there are plenty of other statutes within this chapter on justification and use of force which would deal with most of the instances in which an officer or anyone would use deadly force. And with that, I would entertain any questions from the committee.
Any questions for the witness? Senator Schmidt?
So what is your opinion of the language that's offered in the Senate substitute by Senator Nasheed?
I think the confusing part, Senator, would be adding the probable cause language. And the reason for that is in all those other statutes that deal with justification and use of force, reasonable belief is the language used across the board by the state of Missouri in those statutes. Happened to be teaching this in my class yesterday morning. And in the notes that I give to my class, I put reasonable belief in red, and it's used over and over and over again in those statutes outside of the use of a force for a fleeing felon. Because our language is reasonable belief of the officer or the actor who's claiming their justified use of force, I believe that that language should be consistent throughout so that there's one standard, whether you're a police officer or a private citizen, whether you're apprehending a fleeing felon or involved in any other situation, so that the language is the same throughout. That will make it, I think, for a more uniform application of the statutes in the state.
Does the Supreme Court case address reasonable belief versus probable cause?
I don't specifically recall that off the top of my head, Senator, so I can't answer that question for you. But I do know that the rest of our statutes deal with the reasonable belief of the actor, and that's why I think that's the appropriate standard.
The second question then is, you commented on Senator Dixon's language, which brackets out the commission of the felony language. Senator Nasheed has language that says that's not gone altogether because it would be justified in the instance where the felony offense involves the infliction or threatened infliction of serious physical injury. What's your opinion of that provision?
I think that situation would then be dealt with in one of the other statutes where the officer would be using physical force or deadly force because of the other threat, because these statutes do say that they can use deadly force if authorized by other.
So statutes. It's not that you disagree with it, you just feel like it's covered elsewhere.
I believe it's covered elsewhere, yes, Senator.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Sifton.
To inquire.
Oh, proceed.
I mean, I understand the concern for uniformity in state statute, I really do. At the same time, I'm pretty certain that Tennessee v. Garner says probable cause to believe. So I guess my question to you is, is consistency the only objection to simply parroting the United States Supreme Court's choice of words in Missouri statute?
I think then that puts a police officer at a higher standard than you're putting any other citizen in the state of Missouri.
Well, my question to you, though, is, I mean, Tennessee v. Garner says probable cause to believe. And those are the words used in that opinion, actually, I think, in the second sentence of the opinion.
It's been a while since I've read that opinion.
No, I understand.
So I don't disagree with you.
So I guess my question is, how can we, I mean, if our goal is to make sure that if nothing else, that Missouri statute on this point is constitutional, what is the pitfall in simply using the verbiage used by the United States Supreme Court?
I don't have an answer for you on that one, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the witness? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else to testify in support?
Hi. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Sarah Rossi. I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy at the ACLU of Missouri. We are in support of both bills. I think that any effort to bring the statute in line with the Supreme Court is admirable, and it's much needed in the state of Missouri. We are in support of both bills. What I'd like to point out is that I think that Senator Nasheed's bill and Senator Dixon's bill could be melded in some way to have a perfect solution. The way I think about these issues is there's basically a Venn diagram. So Tennessee v. Garner was addressing unarmed fleeing suspects. And some of the language in these bills, I think Senator Dixon's bill straight up takes out the part of the bill that would violate the decision in Tennessee v. Garner. I think the language in Senator Nasheed's bill leaves a piece of that Venn diagram that would violate the Constitution. So you have unarmed, and you have fleeing, and you have a felony that was violent in some way. And at some point, those are all going to intersect. And even if somebody has committed a violent felony, if they're unarmed and fleeing, they still shouldn't be subject to deadly force if they're not a threat to somebody else or an officer. So there's going to be an intersection there that is going to be in violation of the Constitution or of the United States Supreme Court decision in Tennessee v. Garner. What I'd like to see is Senator Dixon's bill with that one piece taken out and then the probable cause standard from Senator Nasheed's bill moved over. Regardless, I know that that sounds like more informational than supportive, but we are in support. Something needs to be done. But I think there's a solution that can be crafted that addresses all of those issues. And that's it.
Any questions for the witness? Okay, thank you very
Great.
Much.
Thank you.
Next in favor?
Good afternoon, Senators. My name is Ray Higgins. I am the chief elder and spiritual teacher of the African Village and Cultural Center, headquartered in St. Louis, Missouri. I also had the privilege of serving as a critical incident officer and chief chaplain for the Newark, New Jersey Police Department from 1995 to 2007. As Senator Nasheed stated a little earlier, the proposed bill is not to be an attack against a police officer's right to secure their safety. I'm a member of the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge Number 12, Newark, New Jersey. And the last thing that I would like to see is that an officer does not get the right to go home at the end of the day. That's our goal. Do your eight and get out the gate. That's our goal. Originally in the bill that was presented, it was a statement there about an unarmed person being confronted by a law enforcement officer at a distance of 20 feet or more away, and that has been reworded. Wish it hadn't been, because there's really nothing in that statement, and by the way, I wrote that statement and presented it to Senator Nasheed in light of the tragedy that took place in Ferguson. I'm concerned because our state does not look good in the eyes of the rest of the world. And the reason why it doesn't look good is because of what I consider to be media exploitation. The media made it look bad. There's a difference between what is right and what is legal. I'm trying to see our community be healed. As a pastor, I'm talking to young people on a daily basis who honestly don't care anymore. And the reason why they don't care is because they feel as though our lawmakers and the system has let them down. So the reason why we worded the bill the way we did was for twofold purpose. Number one, to say to our community that we want to protect you. We care. There's this phrase out now, and I'm sure you've heard it, Black Lives Matter. But the truth of the matter is lives matter, period. Not just black. Lives matter. And I've seen firsthand as a cop counselor assigned to the Police Services Division of Newark, New Jersey Police Department, I've seen what happens when we have young, inexperienced officers in the field who have watched enough of Mel Gibson and what's this other guy? Lethal Weapon, Die Hard mentality. How they reach for their weapon as a first recourse in a situation. And I understand it's crazy out there. And the law enforcement officer doesn't know what they're walking into. So we're not trying to in any way whatsoever say that a law enforcement officer does not have the right to exercise the use of force continuum to secure his safety, his partner's safety, or anyone else's. What we are saying is that a law enforcement officer should not have the right, and it's not right for a law enforcement officer to use their weapon in an act of deadly force when there is no imminent threat to the officer. That's all we're saying, that's all we're asking. In the state of Missouri, and when this whole tragedy took place in Ferguson, I did my homework and I looked at the statutes for the state of Missouri, and unfortunately, there is nothing in the statutes of Missouri that words imminent danger to the law enforcement officer. Other states have that. And I think it should be put in our law that an officer must be or feel that he or she is in imminent danger before using deadly force. If that's not there, if there's nothing there to hold that officer back, then that makes the officer the judge, jury, and executioner on the scene. And that simply is not right when there's no imminent danger. I won't recite laws, you guys have done that already. I'm talking about what's right. Letting our community know that we want to protect them from young and experienced officers who don't have the wisdom that an experienced officer has to serve and protect.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions for the witness? Okay, seeing none, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate you being here. And
yes, she wanted me to say, I flew in from Atlanta last week.
I'm very sorry.
At the last minute, I bought a plane ticket because I wanted to be here because this bill is that important. And it was canceled. And then I just found out, I talked to Senator Nasheed on Sunday from Atlanta, and I couldn't get here, couldn't cancel my appointments. I ended up doing it anyway to get here because this is that important to me.
Well, we really appreciate you. I apologize for the weather and our having to cancel, but thank you very much for your passion for it and for being here. And I notice your lapel pin there. I like that as well. Thank you very much, sir.
Welcome to the Senator.
Thank you. Anyone else to testify in support?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mick Covington, Executive Director of the Missouri Sheriff's Association. We'd like to go on record in support of Senate Bill 199. We believe the fix is what we've been teaching in our police academies in line with Tennessee versus Gardner for many years, and it would address the problem as needs to be addressed.
Any questions for Mr. Covington? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much. Anyone else to go on the record in support?
Members of the committee, my name is Sheldon Lineback. I'm the Executive Director of the Missouri Police Chiefs. You want to go on record in support of Senate Bill 199.
Any questions for this witness? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much. Next in favor.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mark Bruns with the Missouri Fraternal Order of Police, on record in support of the legislation, particularly the part that brings in line with Tennessee versus Garner.
Okay, any questions? Senator Schmidt.
Real quickly, so I just want to make sure that we're on the same page, because I will read it more thoroughly, but I'm reading through this case as there, in the case, probable cause is used in that case, and it's likened to any other seizure or arrest that probable cause would be used. Are you guys testifying, I make sure it's clear, testifying in support of probable cause versus reasonable belief?
Testifying solely to bring us in line with the Supreme Court case, Senator.
Okay, well, I think the Supreme Court's case says that. That's what I'm trying to understand. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Anyone else to testify in support of either Senate Bill 199 or Senate Bill 42?
Hello, Senators.
Welcome.
My name is Jeff Steck. I'm testifying on behalf of the Mid-Missouri Fellowship of Reconciliation, a social justice group. I want to applaud you all for trying to deal with this issue. Especially, I'm thankful for Senator Nasheed's leadership on this effort, Senator Chapon Nadal as well. I appreciate the intent with Senate Bill 42, and I do think it's important to go with the probable cause language. I will be honest in saying that I was especially interested in testifying in support of Senate Bill 42 as it was originally presented. I think it is really important to keep in mind that, ProPublica did an amazing report looking at police shootings from 2010 to 2012. It's a reality we all need to keep in mind here. They found that there were 1,217 deadly police shootings during that 3-year period caught in federal data across the country, and that blacks aged 15 to 19 were killed at a rate of 31.17 per million, while just 1.47 per million white males in that age range died at the hands of police. So I appreciate what the pastor said earlier, all lives do matter, but I think we need to be very mindful that black lives do matter as well, because it seems that this measure doesn't go far enough to keep in mind the reality, and people need to be held accountable. I want police to be safe, but I think we need to be mindful of the lives that are being lost at a horrible rate, and we need to do better in our state. So I thank Senator Nasheed and Senator Dixon for making an effort.
I just want to clarify, you're testifying in support of the bills?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Sorry. I'm
That's
sorry
all right.
That. Maybe I didn't state that.
Okay. Any questions for this witness? Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else to testify in the affirmative? Anyone else? Last call. Okay, we'll now take witnesses in opposition to either Senate Bill 199 or Senate Bill 42. Just a reminder, there is not an opportunity for informational testimony. Any other witnesses in opposition? Okay, that will close the hearing on Senate Bills 199 and Senate Bill 42. Senator Nasheed, thank you very much.